It is time to talk about the confusing world of the Minnesota State Legislature, Republican style, in podcast 785, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Now, we're going to talk about the state legislature. And of course, as you know, the state legislature, as the federal legislature, has a lot to do with medical insurance and medical care. And you might think the whole thing is a hopeless mess and that there's nothing anyone can do about it, least of all state legislatures and federal legislatures. Well, there is something, and Twyla Braze at the Citizens Council for Health Freedom is doing something about it. She has created something called the Wedge. You may have heard about it. Listen as she explains what it is and what can be done.
We're building an alternative infrastructure of freedom for patients and doctors. In 2016, we launched the Wedge of Health Freedom, which can be found at jointhewedge.com. This is a place that lists all the doctors who are no longer involved with government or insurance companies, and they receive cash, check, or charge from patients. So they have a direct, private, contractual relationship with the patient. It's patient-friendly, it's pocketbook-friendly, and it's privacy-friendly. And this is our way of bringing the practice of medicine back to where it should be. It's our way of returning simplicity and affordability and patient friendliness, as well as a confidential patient-doctor relationship, back to the practice of medicine, back to healthcare. This is our way of saving patients and doctors from the system of today, which does not care, is not kind, and is not compassionate. When you walk into the office of a doctor on the Wedge, you will know right away exactly what the prices are. You will be paying either monthly or you will be paying per service. But there will be no overlay of costs from extra paperwork or billing or CPT codes or trying to get permission from your insurance company. It's all just between you and the doctor, making it affordable and making it personable and friendly.
Now, the Wedge grows every day and more people should know about it. To learn more, visit the Citizens Council for Health Freedom at cchfreedom.org or click on the Big Brother in the Exam Room banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. And thanks, Twyla. How can I introduce this podcast and this interview? The world of the Minnesota State Legislature is frustrating to me, and because it is frustrating, it is confusing, and because it's confusing, it's frustrating. Every time I wade into Minnesota politics, that is speaking to Minnesota legislators or trying to figure out what's going on at the legislature, I am confronted with mixed messages, passive aggression. Nobody will really explain to you what is going on. I'm not sure that they can actually define or explain a specific problem or issue. They get all tied up like a pretzel in discussing things. I don't even like talking about Minnesota politics generally. And let me tell you, I don't envy reporters on the Capitol, be at the Star Tribune or MinnPost or, Minnesota Public Radio or the Pioneer Press, because first of all, everyone hates them. But I don't know, honestly, how they ever actually get a story or even figure out how to write a story, because you can't even understand what a source is generally talking about. The worst practitioner, in my opinion, of this art of obfuscation and confusion, creating confusion around a problem, are Republicans, because they are so passive-aggressive. At least with the DFL, they will come right out and say what they're upset about most of the time, although I'm sure my Democrat friends have equally confusing and Byzantine reactions to this kind of activity, which is, in fact, Byzantine. Forget the fact that conversation with political people at the Capitol will be peppered with words like Republican and freedom and concepts like conservatism that are seldom succinctly defined. When you start talking about principle, you just don't have the time in a 30-minute or 40-minute podcast to get to the bottom of it. When something happens, given this kind of ethereal, literally Byzantine structure of philosophy, getting to the bottom of it is just about impossible. Last week, four Minnesota House Republicans announced that they will no longer caucus with their Republican colleagues. So Representative Steve Draskowski, whom we're going to speak to shortly, Cal Barr, Tim Miller, and Jeremy Munson are in this group. We're going to talk to Steve shortly, who has been kind enough to speak with me about this. And just FYI, the term caucus goes back to colonial times in the United States. Basically, it can mean a specific party group in a legislature or subgroup. What these four Minnesota legislators are saying is that they're going to be meeting separately but continuing to vote with the larger Republican caucus, meaning the party. People get confused between party and caucus. You can have any number of caucuses. The main caucus, I guess, would be the Republicans in the House, which is now a minority after the 2018 election. Now, when I interview people, I want everybody to understand this because I hear this all the time. I do not argue with them. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of this, and the issue seems to be related to the election loss and the way legislators are treated by leadership. And this goes back years. This isn't anything new, by the way. Specifically, former Speaker Representative Kurt Dowd, who is now the minority leader in the House, is the sort of the butt of the conversation. And we're going to try to get to the bottom of this thing. I don't know if that's going to work. And I will come back at some point to do a podcast about this because it's opened up a lot of veins for me in terms of issues that I have with the way politics is conducted in this state and specifically at the legislature and specifically by Republicans generally. But that is a different podcast. So let's get Steve on and we'll talk about this whole thing with caucusing separately from the Republicans. Tell me what is going on with you and the three other reprobates that have decided to break away from the Republican Party in the legislature.
Well, you know, we're really looking for a new environment to work from, a new platform of caucus to work from. The one that we're in has been difficult for each of us to work within, especially in the last couple of years. And so we're looking for one that we can, be free of some of the things that we discovered over there or have encountered over there and actually work to serve our constituents better. That's the goal.
What kinds of things have you encountered?
People have had problems with, really pressure to vote certain ways when they're completely against your conscience and your constituents and what you told them. There have been situations where we have been, really held accountable for those. Bob, are we on podcast already or no?
Yeah, it's recording.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of these are kind of internal things. I don't want to really go into all the gruesome details, but we really want to have a situation where we can work more freely and represent our constituents, have our own staff that we control rather than one that's controlled by a leader that might have a different way of presenting what we want to present.
So you're not able then to choose your own staff that's chosen for you?
Correct. The caucus leadership under the current system. Matter of fact, I learned in this whole experience over the last week or so that it's fairly recent, maybe 15 or 20 years ago now, that the two caucuses, the two traditional caucuses, really kind of scooped up or took the responsibilities and the power to control the staff and then delegated those staff in proportionally to the individual members. It used to be told that the individual members had feedback into or actually input into the decisions around hiring at least the legislative assistants that worked for them. And to a lesser extent, some of the other staff, the research staff, and so forth. So,
Well, my understanding is this stuff has been going on over there for years, where they get people in the room that they don't, that aren't adhering to, and not just under this leader, but this has been going on for, and we're talking about Kurt Dowd, who is now the minority leader in the House of State House of Representatives. You're a representative, obviously, and where are you? What's your district again? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Bob, I'm in House District 21B, which is in southeast Minnesota, portions of Goodhue, Wabashaw, Winona, and a smidgen of Dodge County.
So my understanding is they've been doing this for years, where they've been wielding, you know, power and getting legislators that especially, you know, for lack – and you know I hate the political spectrum. I hate right, left. It doesn't – I don't think – conservative, liberal, I don't think it describes anymore what either of the parties represent anyway. But for the purposes of the conversation, they've been pulling representatives who are, let's just say, considered really conservative into rooms and telling them, you got to toe the line and you have to, you know, you got to go along to get along here, and pulling this for a long time. Is that fair? Is that a fair assessment of what's been going on there?
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. And, you know, Bob, it's kind of leadership style, too. I mean, we've had leaders in the past. I've been in the legislature for 11 years. We've had leaders in the past that have said, you know, you came in and, you know, you got to get 68 votes. You have to, when you're in the majority, your job is to govern. And obviously we're entering into a situation here in the next 2 years when Republicans are not in the majority in the House. But we were each of the last 2 years. And when you're doing that, you have to govern. You have to have 68 votes and make certain you have those votes with the bills that you do bring forward. So, you know, there's one leadership style that's worked well in the past. I've seen it. And you bring your members into the room and say, members, this is a bill before us, and we need to figure out how to get 68 votes for it, and let's discuss it until we can get 68 votes, and we can't bring the bill through.
I hear it's a lot more intense than that.
Well, recently, the leadership style has changed, and it's been more like members. Here is the bill, and the member just described the bill. Now, is there anybody that's going to vote against it?
Mm.
And so that's a different approach than members. We got to get 68 votes. Let's discuss it and figure out who can vote for it and who can't. And if you can't, let's negotiate and try to figure something out.
So it's not going to be, you're not going to be another political party. You're still going to caucus with the Republicans. Why not just break away and be a completely different party, start a new political party, or become libertarians?
Well, because we very much are Republicans and believe very strongly in the Republican brand. And as a matter of fact, our four members are very, very Republican. We're very supportive of the Republican Party in the state, the Republican Party units, and the conservative organizations out there. And I've actually even challenged in the old caucus, if you will, situations where the old caucus has not supported local Republican candidates in the past. So we do very much support those ideals. And
what are those ideals?
Well, those ideals are ideals for not only for a smaller government and a larger individual, but also one that supports the grassroots process of the Republican Party.
Right. And you've always been for those first two. The question is whether or not the Republican Party, as it currently exists in Minnesota, is actually for those things. It seems to me moving away from that and to much more of whatever's expedient. And the people that I talk to, and it's not limited to one particular part of the state, many people feel that Republicans go to St. Paul and they talk a good game, they get there. And by the way, I would say that you're probably the exception to that. They get there and they get pushed into raising money, you know, raising spending for education, raising spending for other programs, capitulating on things like, capitulating on things that people feel strongly about. And they don't feel the Republican Party represents them anymore. Am I out of my mind? Is that too, as Tom Emmer used to say, you're painting with too broad a brush?
No, I think you're painting with the right brush here. You know, and it, I mean, if you really are there only to build political power and to be in control and to, you know, figure your way up the ladder of power within your caucus or within the legislature, and you don't care about the policy that you're there for, I mean, different people go there for different reasons. There's a number of us, and I can say this for the four of us in our caucus, we are there for the reason of wanting to bring Minnesota to be a freer place where the individual is bigger and stronger and the government is smaller and weaker. But if you're not there for that, and you're there for instead for, you know, making yourself more powerful and more honorable, as we are called in our that type of thing, which obviously that's not me. But if that is your thing, then you devolve instead of focusing on the issues and lowering taxes and restraining spending and those types of things. Then you revert to we're faster, they're slower, we're smarter, they're dumber, we're better, they're worse. And the public doesn't like that. And really just it devolves into that because you don't have anything in your gut to work from, it seems. So those are really kind of the dichotomy.
We call those principles, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. But that's the dichotomy I see. I see people who are there who really are motivated by the things they tell their constituents there that are running for, and there are others that are there simply to build power and maintain it. And that's not these four individuals for sure.
Are you taking, I would think that they're pretty upset with you.
You know, some probably are. I haven't talked to those individuals of the other caucus, but I've talked to a number of friends of mine in the caucus, and I've got a large number of friends in the caucus and hope to maintain those friendships and build them, certainly will. And we're not really looking at ourselves as a caucus. We're definitely not looking at ourselves as a caucus that will be, fighting that caucus or anything like that in any sort of adversarial position with them, but quite the contrary, one that should work very well with them. We're just looking for our own work environment, Bob. That's really what we're looking for at this point.
So what you're saying is what you guys want is you want to be able to hire your own staff.
We want to be able to hire our own staff and form our own message out and work to do the best job serving our constituents, the job that we told our constituents we would do when we were elected.
Here's what I don't understand. Why can't you just initiate another political party? Why would it be? Is it a statutory thing, or would you consider actually becoming libertarian and having your own caucus, and then making your own rules? Could you do that?
Well, that could happen. It's important to remember that we're not. We're not the center of the discussion around parties. We're simply you got people who are sent to the legislature in the House. There's 134 of them, and they decide who they want to caucus with. It's a free association. So these are organizations, these caucuses that people can freely associate with or not, and that's what we are. The party units are separate, and that's a different function.
In deciding that you're going to not you're going to freely associate, you four are going to associate as opposed to associating with the leadership and with the current structure of the minority in the House of Representatives, since the Democrats won a majority in the last election, isn't that akin to forming your own caucus? Or you're gonna, when they say caucus, you're gonna continue to caucus with the Republicans? But so how does it have teeth? Let's just put it that way.
I mean, we're calling ourselves the new House Republican Caucus, so we're going to have our own identity. We're going to be our own small caucus. At least it's four at this point, and who knows, we may get more. We're a group that decided to affiliate together, which is a freedom of association that we're guaranteed by the Constitution, and that's what we're going to do going forward.
So is that a legal term that you're using that provides you some legal defense to be able to do that, or is that you know, it sounds like you're taking kind of a legal position that's saying, okay, we're just caucusing, we're just freely associating together instead of throwing down the gauntlet to Kurt Dowd and saying we've had enough of this nonsense. Because that's what I hear when I go to basic political unit meetings, when I talk to Republicans in the state, they're furious, especially in the former speaker in the current minority leader's district. There are people there that are furious at him because they don't feel that he walks the walk. Let's just put it that way. When it comes to Republicans, why can't you just say we're out? We're out of the Republican Party. We're going to start our own party.
No, we very much, as I mentioned before, we very much support the Republican Party
okay.
and support Republican ideals and principles, and that really does define us. Our stripes haven't changed, Bob. We're very much conservatives. We're very much Republicans. They haven't changed an iota. But we're going in a different room to meet.
So you guys are still Republicans, but they're the ones that aren't the Republicans anymore, basically.
Well, no, they're Republicans too. all of them are.
You're being awful nice.
Well, I mean, I understand that that some people in the Speaker's district have issues with them, that's their deal, and we certainly have had our issues with the speaker too, and part of those are largely part of the reason that several of us anyway are moving to where we're moving to, so that we can work better on our own without those undue influences. But it's really about us being able to better serve our constituents and be genuine, straightforward, and honest about what we're doing and what we're putting forward, what we're voting on, what we're proposing.
Would this, a corollary to this, be the Freedom Caucus in the U.S. House, basically? Same kind of thing?
I mean, no, I mean, we talked about that. I mean, so we're three very, or four very, freedom-loving individuals, and we're a different House Republican Caucus. We're calling ourselves a new Republican Caucus, and we're optimistic that we can do a better job sharing our message and doing it in a way and meeting in a way that is free of the hindrances that we ran into in the other caucus.
Well, here's another issue for legislatures, and that is the quality of water. You've certainly seen water quality in the headlines, and I don't know about you, but I do not drink the tap water in my town. First of all, it tastes bad, and then you have this issue of pollution from decades ago, and that is toxins that are odorless, tasteless, and colorless. And so if you are concerned about quality of water, if you're concerned about health for yourself and your family, you end up spending a lot of money on bottled water. Now, my friend Joe Berg at Minnesota 321. Now, my friend Joe Berg at the Water Butler was telling me that he can make my tap water more pure and better tasting than bottled water, and it's affordable. And here is the deal. The guys at the Water Butler can set you up with a water purification system that will end your dependence on bottled water forever and give you clean, pure water. Call 763-286-8328. That's 763-286-8328. Now, if you live in St. Louis Park, Rogers, Maple Grove, Edina, Plymouth, or Minnetonka, this is especially for you because this is where a lot of these water issues are. It's time to purify your water right from the source with the Water Butler. 68 years of experience with plumbing, 30 years of experience with water filtration systems. Let me give you the number again. Joe is always the kind of guy that says, look, you can look me up online at masterplumbermn.com, and all you have to do is click on that banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, or you can just call me. And he really welcomes the calls. 763-286-8328. That's 763-286-8328. Or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. End your dependence on bottled water today with the Water Butler. And specifically, what were the hindrances in the other caucus?
Well, I don't want to go into all the gory details.
But what this is what makes it news. You got to give us gory details.
Well, I'm going to share one example. It comes down to how you vote. There were situations in the last year where, the bills are brought forward, these big, ugly omnibus bills, which, for instance, there was a big, I called it the garbage bill last year. I don't know if you remember the discussion on that, but the big honking omnibus bill that, and I don't remember exactly how many hundreds of millions of dollars additional spending were in it, but we had already the year before conveyed for the biennium a 9.5% increase in biennial spending, and we didn't have to do anything else. And I, for one, received a great deal of pressure from leadership to vote for that bill just shortly after I had told my constituents I wasn't going to vote for another dime of spending. And I said no, I voted no, and I paid the consequences in the meantime. So,
what were the consequences?
Well, there's intimidation, there's bullying, there's those types of things, and I'm not usually I've never been a weak person, so it's kind of an odd position for me to be in. But in our own caucus, we don't have to deal with that, and so we want to be free of that stuff, and be self-directed, if you will, as a group of four and as a group of five or six or ten, however many we end up with.
And where are the other the members from? What districts are they from, and where are those districts in the state?
Yeah. Representative Munson is from Lake Crystal, the Mankato area. Representative Miller is from Prinsburg, in the Kandy, Ojai County area. And Representative Barr is from, I'm trying to remember his, he's in that Oak Grove, I'm trying to remember exactly which town he's from, but kind of the northwest suburbs.
Okay, now I have a hard question for you. Some people say, why didn't they do this during the session? Like, why did they wait until the Republicans were going into the minority to do this? Why not? If you really wanted to stand up, Representative Drazkowski, why didn't you do it during the session?
Well, there was discussion about it back then, it didn't happen, but... you're also very busy then. The best time to do this is at these formative times like we're at right now, because of the logistical stuff, if you're going to get staff as a caucus, this is the time to do it, when staff determinations are being made, when committee decisions are being made, when office and House floor allocations of space are being made, et cetera.
So what will the effect be of you having your own staff? Right now, as we discussed earlier, they tell you what your staff's going to be. What will the effect be of you having your own staff?
Well, I think the biggest thing is confidence that your staff are truly working for you and working in concert with you with the message you're doing. Now, we have some great staff in the caucus that I was in before, some wonderful staff. But again, they're under the direction of the speaker or the minority leader. And
so you can't speak freely then. So what happens is, if you want to speak freely and sort of think about something, then you're always worried they're going to report back to leadership. That's what I've heard.
Well, there's that, and even there's some reporting that the staff are required to do up the chain to leadership, and reporting on client contacts made and who the meetings are with and this type of thing. And sometimes when you hear that, it sounds like black helicopter stuff, but that reporting chain and some of the things that the email can be monitored, that type of thing, those are concerning. So
that's not really freedom. That's not really liberty or freedom oriented, and I thought that's what Republicans were for.
I did too. So that's why we're headed to where we're heading.
Well, you don't have to be libertarians. You can start your own political party that doesn't have to be. I wasn't pushing the Libertarian Party. I'm just saying that would really upset them. If you wanted to upset them, start your own political party.
Well, our goal wasn't to upset anyone. Our goal was really to put ourselves in a better environment so that we can operate better, sleep better at night without the inhibitions, some of which I mentioned earlier.
What was the straw that broke the camel's back?
Well, I think the straw that that broke the camel's back largely was that we lost 25% of our Republican membership in the legislature, and we ended up with a situation that found a way for the caucus to elect the same leader to go through the same exercise again.
So you feel that the loss of the majority is directly attributable to the leader, Kurt Doak?
Well, it always has been. When you're in that leadership position, if it's like it or not, when you win, you take credit for it. And when you lose, you got to take responsibility. The current leader took all the credit each of the last two elections we did win, and didn't take responsibility this time. And I don't know how he has developed the level of support he has in the face of that, because the last leaders, as far back as I can go, even before I began serving in the legislature over 11 years ago, Bob, every one of them, in both parties, have stepped down. And that is the right thing to do. That's the tradition, that's the institution, that's taking responsibility. And we didn't have that. And at least I myself, and I think probably the other three in our caucus, believe that if we're going to win in 2020, we can't have a repeat performance. We can't have the ship that's headed for the rocks end up crashing to shore. So we're going to take a boat in a different direction. We're going to actually work to, when we're working outside of our legislative work and going out and doing work to help build and support the party, we're going to actually support local candidates. We're going to help recruit candidates for those open seats and bring forward candidates that are supported by the local party instead of fighting against the local party and some of the other party units, as our old caucus has done in the past, which was another item of disagreement,
So the Doak and others worked against candidates that were Republican candidates running for office.
Yeah, they did that in three districts, and specifically House caucus spending in one district, and that was the Shakopee district. So we had a lot of discussion about that, and I even brought a motion forward to prohibit our caucus from spending money on a member that fails to get endorsement in the future of their local party. To avoid that, I mean, it makes a lot of sense, right? So you're a sitting member of the legislature. You should be able to get endorsed by your BPOU if you're doing your job right and you're being honest with people and being a straight shooter. I find it very, very easy to continue to do those things in my district and I know many others have. It's not difficult to be endorsed as long as you're being honest with people and doing what you said you're going to do when you get there. So. That's an item we had strong disagreement with as well.
You've always had really, now if there's Democrats listening, they're not going to necessarily like this because this is who you have been. But I'm just saying that you've had what a conservative would refer to as an exemplary record as a conservative Republican voter all these years. I mean, you've been usually at the top of the list on the ratings in terms of how you vote on things. So your constituents, if they are conservative, can pretty well depend on you not really you're not necessarily going to toe the leadership line. You're going to do what you think is right in terms of what a conservative is supposed to be. Yes?
That's my inclination for sure. I did over the last couple of biennia, I swallowed a lot of really ugly spending bills in order to further the cause, because again, you got to get 68 votes, right?
Yeah, well, that's what they say. But the thing is, I get all that, and I think the average person understands that a caucus has to work together to get votes to win. But again, and I'm sure you've encountered this because you and I go to the same places. So I know that when we go to these meetings, we've heard the same types of statements. And I don't know what the numbers are. I mean, I don't know what the percentage are, but there seems to be an awful lot of disaffected Republicans who are disaffected with this this seeming willingness to run to the middle or run to the moderate and pretend to be conservatives, but not to actually toe the line and be conservatives. I mean, there aren't too many guys at the top of that list in terms of, you know, strong conservative votes when it comes to the legislature. You're one of them, and there's probably a few others. But you're the name that always comes up for, in my mind in terms of, you know, my memory in terms of voting really conservative votes, not the leader. And I think that's what people are upset about, if you want my honest opinion.
Well, I think there's a strong argument. I make it in this last election. You know, we had the core of the Twin Cities speaking very loudly, and it is as a whole from a liberal standpoint, but also very anti-Trump. And we needed, in response to that, to have the rest of Minnesota speaking to those suburbs in support of the president and his policies. If we have Republicans that are joining the liberals and against the president, how are we going to affect the thinking amongst those people in those suburbs? How are we going to be able to at least have them hear the other side of the story? If there's not another side of the story to them, Donald Trump and conservative ideas and conservative action happening in Washington is going to be repudiated by them because there's not another message there. Obviously, that's the only message. That's the only answer for those suburbs. And, you know, that's really what I think largely as I look at it happened.
Right. And in my experience with Republicans also, and I would imagine is probably true on the Democrat side too, just as this is just politics. This isn't specific to your situation. But when your guy is the president of the United States, he is the head of the party. You can't run locally against the man. And I think I don't want to get into a long discussion of analysis of what happened in the election nationally, because there's been plenty of that. But I do think with Republicans, there's an expectation that they will support the top guy regardless. And so I think you're right about that. On the other hand, you'll have people saying, well, the candidate should be free to take the positions they need to take to win in the districts they're in. And if they're closer to Rochester or they're closer to Minneapolis and St. Paul, then they're going to struggle because that's when you get into these quote-unquote purple districts. What about the state party? Any thoughts on the state party's performance in terms of the legislative debacle, literally, that happened in 2018 for the Republicans in Minnesota?
Well, Bob, there's I don't know if you've read the book. It's called The Blueprint, How the Democrats Won Colorado. But what they did out there and what the Democrats in Minnesota have been doing is they followed that very well over the last 8 years or so, is that they get all of their different affiliated organizations together. I'm just envisioning they meet around a round table. They work together to bring in funding and figure out the funding streams and coordinate funding streams to coordinate message. They've got a message that is consistent and shared throughout the election. We have a fractured situation going on, and so I mean,
what do you mean by that? You have to define that. I'm sorry.
I think the state party did some real good things. I think the caucus, certainly the House Republican caucus, certainly spent a lot of money on legislative seats. The Freedom Club spent a lot of money on different races, including the governor's race, the Chamber of Commerce, and some of their organizations. The Jobs Coalition and others spent a bunch of money, but they have not been working together, and that's the key, is that we need to get Republicans to all work together. You can't have these different groups that are trying to build their own little political empire or whatever. Number one, our enemies, or our opponent in this case, our opponent is acting differently. They're actually working together. And number two, our opponent is much better funded. So if we aren't working together, we don't stand a chance against what we're up against.
What's the bone of contention that's preventing them from working together? Is it the president?
I think that's some of it, but I think there's also kind of some island building going on. Where, you know, one, it's you know, is it my way, or your way, or is it the highway? So, if we can't all get together, and that's part of the discussion we have. We have to be using the same data sets, like the Democrats are, and we can't. Otherwise, we're going to be outmaneuvered if we're not putting all of our best information in the same place and extracting the best information so everybody's using it.
Is there going to be a leadership change, do you think, at some point? Do you think this is the beginning of the chinks in the army, the armor that will lead to a leadership change in the House? And I'm talking about the State House, you know, this session, that there is a possibility that they would say, we're going to dump Doubt and get somebody else because that's the way it should be?
I have no idea. I mean, at this point, I would doubt it because, I mean, he was just elected. There were a couple of us who ran against him, and he won overwhelmingly in the leadership election. So he seems to have a great deal of support amongst the majority of the caucus. So unless something changes over there, but
why? I mean, again, and I don't mean to be, I'm not trying to be difficult. I can't understand what he does that causes him to have this level of support, unless they're all completely without principle. And Republicans need to know this.
I don't know either, Bob. That's the multi-million-dollar question. As I mentioned, it's in each of the last losses, both Republicans and Democrats, going way back. The person who has lost realized it was they took responsibility and stepped aside, and that's the way it's happened. That's the way that institutionally it's happened, but it didn't happen in this situation. I don't have a better answer for you. Sorry.
Well, that's okay, and I appreciate that. And do you have anything you want to add?
Well, I'm just looking forward to this session. I think we're going to have an opportunity to most times work in concert with the other Republican caucus. And, you know, we got 59 votes between the two of us. The Democrats have 75. So, you know, they're still going to, they're still going to easily pass the bulk of their bills. We're going to have some bills that are going to be...
I can't see you voting with the Democrat caucus, although you never know.
No. Well, I mean, there will be some times, for sure, and there always have been in the past. But, you know, on items that matter, you know, when they try to take our guns and raise our taxes and increase spending, I'll be voting no. But, you know, when they vote to get rid of the mute button and get rid of omnibus bills and do things like that, you know, I'll be there with them.
House Representative Steve Draskowski, thanks a ton. Appreciate you taking the time. I know it's been a little hectic.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate the opportunity. Have a great week and Merry Christmas.
You too.
All right. Thank you for listening to Podcast 785. I will come back probably on Podcast 786 and talk about this a little bit more in length and a little bit more philosophically, because I think this is indicative of a larger problem with politics in the state of Minnesota. We'll talk about it. Now, I don't have a lot of time to get back into where you can get the Bob Davis podcast. Of course, you can listen right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. I do want to say that we are now on Spotify. Thanks for listening to Podcast 785.